It's Ben's brother. Better than this. Brand new from them. It's 20 past 11. Mags in Gateshead's already been in touch. I ordered what I thought was a bargain pair of curtains on eBay. 99p. Oh, Mags, thrilled to bits. Planning the room where they'd go, looking beautiful. However, when they arrived, they are doll's house size. That always seems to be the way, doesn't it, Mags? Your online shopping disasters today, please. Get in touch with me if, like Mags, you've ordered something the wrong size, too big, too small, whatever it happens to be. 0800 234 6565. While you're doing that, let me have a chat with Paul Collingwood. Now, this week, Britney Spears said she will not perform again while her dad retains control over her career. This is a part of a conservatorship which was set up in 2008. Now, the singer's message is the latest in a series of emotional public comments about the arrangement that controls her personal and financial affairs. And we've heard that term quite a bit, haven't we, over the last few weeks and months. Here in the UK, the government are looking to overhaul the legal process for people to nominate someone to take financial and health decisions on their behalf if they lose the ability to act for themselves. So could the interest generated in Britney Spears' case in the States influence how things work here? Well, Paul Collingwood is a senior associate in the Wills, Trusts, Estates and Court of Protection team at Sinton's, and he joins me now. Hello, Paul.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Ah, it's good to speak to you. We've seen this word conservatorship, and we've seen it a lot in recent months. Yeah. Can you tell me what it is?
Yeah, of course. So this is where the US court would grant an order allowing someone else to look after a person's affairs who is deemed to lack capacity to make the decisions themselves. And in Britney's case, we do have a conservatorship, which typically can have two parts to it. One part would be in relation to a person's property and financial affairs, and the other part in relation to a person's welfare. And like what you said, interestingly, we have something similar to conservatorship in the UK. We've got something called deputyship. And it would be up to the Court of Protection here as to whether or not they would appoint someone to act on someone else's behalf to make such decisions.
So when we're looking at a young woman like Britney Spears, in my mind, I suppose the court order in America could be used for things like mental capacity diminished in the likes of perhaps dementia, which is seen as an older person's condition. Yeah. So why would Britney Spears be put on one?
Well, we all saw Britney in the headlines back in 2008 when she suffered tremendously in relation to her mental health. And in fact, it was distressing to see someone so young going through that process. So the court at that time obviously thought that she didn't have capacity to make decisions regarding her financial affairs and also her health and welfare. So they granted the conservatorship order, appointing her father in relation to both aspects first, but then he later stepped back in relation to the personal side, and a healthcare professional took his place.
So that was 13 years ago, and you're right, it was well documented, it was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We all saw what happened to Britney, and she shaved her hair off, and, you know, there's all these awful things happened.
Yeah.
But that was 13 years ago, and since then, of course, we've seen she performs in Vegas, you know, she's been a judge on one of the reality shows in America. So she's a working young woman who's making a lot of money, who is, you know, going about her business, but she still has these huge restrictions. Do they have time limits?
She does. No, well, it depends what the original order stated. So in relation to, like, a deputyship order here, it can be an interim order. So assessment of capacity can follow in due course. Or it can be permanent. In relation to Britney, I assume that she has taken steps to obviously try and convince the court that now is the time to actually look at that conservatorship order and be treated as though she does have capacity to make more decisions now. And that's why it's coming into the public domain now.
Obviously, there's a lot of mystery. We can't be sure what goes on behind closed doors in terms of Britney Spears' mental health, etc. But when we've seen her speaking to a judge and saying all of these things about the family, it's being played out in public. And obviously in the UK, if it was one of us lot listening right now, it wouldn't be played out in such the same way. But are they as restrictive in the UK? If you were to have one, for me, for example, is it as restrictive as what we're seeing with Britney Spears?
I think it's important to differentiate between a situation where a care support team are working together and where, for instance, there is a breakdown in relation to that support team. In Britney's case, there is that breakdown, which is why we are hearing about it. But ordinarily in the UK, you wouldn't necessarily know that somebody is or has a deputyship order in place appointing someone else. Because it is confidential, but likewise, where there are problems, those problems would be heard by the Court of Protection. But again, you know, in Britney's case, because of the person that she is and the fame that she has, it is all coming out into the public domain.
You mentioned the Court Protection. So how does that work?
So the Court of Protection is the court that you would apply to become someone's deputy. And a deputyship application rests upon a person not having capacity. Now, deputyship orders are very common in relation to a person's property and financial affairs, but less common in relation to health and welfare. So they're the court that ultimately grants the order to appoint someone as deputy, and it's fairly cumbersome in terms of the process, and it does take time unless there are grounds to make that application urgently.
So is that different to power of attorney? Is power of attorney something that is set up when the person is of sound mind?
That's right. So we've got lasting powers of attorney, and you must sign those documents whilst you are fit and healthy. And there's two types. There's one for property and financial affairs, so that would deal with a person's bank accounts. It would deal with anything really of a financial nature. And then there's also the health and welfare document. So that would cover more welfare-based decisions, such as where does a person live, decisions regarding their daily routine. And there's also an option within the document that allows you to give your attorneys authority to consent or refuse life-sustaining treatment. The property and financial document can be used with someone's consent or with a lack of capacity, but the health and welfare is only there to be used when the person doesn't have capacity to make those decisions. So if we're trying to do the best for a client, it is to discuss lasting powers of attorney, because at the end of the day, with lasting powers of attorney, you make the decision over who is appointed, whereas with deputyship, then the court decides who they think should be appointed in your best interests.
What are some of the common issues people have with power of attorney arrangements?
The common issues tend to be, there's a couple. So common issues can be, for instance, that can arise through family dispute. So what you decide one day may not work in the future. So it's always important to draft a lasting power of attorney to take certain things into account. And I have seen, for instance, people try to do them themselves, but the lasting powers of attorney aren't drafted specifically enough to match with their particular circumstances. So they almost have to go back to the start again. And then there's other issues, because it can take a long time for the document to be registered with the Office of the Public Guardian. For instance, once it's signed and it goes off, there's a statutory period of 6 weeks to wait before it can be registered. And then because they've been so popular during the COVID procedure, you know, the COVID situation, It's typically taken around 10 to 13 weeks before we get the registered lasting power of attorney back from the Office of the Public Guardian.
So it's a conversation that needs to be had when everybody's feeling fit and well, and it's one of those awful, awkward type of conversations which need to happen when everybody's feeling, you know, positive and able to have those frank discussions.
Yeah, and that's the best time to have these discussions, i.e. when there's not an urgent need for these type of documents, because if you leave it too late, whereby you're unwell, then that period of registration is a long time to wait. And also it just means that you've got peace of mind if you do it now, that it's a bit like an insurance policy. It's there if you need it in the future. And if not, then it just means that you've been lucky enough to retain capacity and to retain ultimate control of your affairs.
Finally, Paul, we're just going to go to the news in just a moment, but if you could just let me know how we find out more, if somebody's listening now and they want to find out a little bit more about this, because it is quite complex. How do they do it?
Yeah, by all means, we're happy to, the team at Simpsons are happy to have a chat with members of the public if they've got any questions. Likewise, our website, the Simpsons website, has a tremendous amount of literature. There's also articles on there that hopefully people will find useful if they do have any questions. But please feel free to give us a call.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Paul. It's good to speak to you. That's Paul Collingwood. See you soon. Cheers.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thanks.